I'm the only one that's allowed to touch the porcelain.
Yes.
It's really hard not to cry when you hear that God has done things like that. For those that weren't here last week, Corlia came up. Tian's fiance, wife to be. And her sister had not been given much hope either. And she went for her first chemotherapy. If I'm wrong, you must tell me, okay. Second or first? Second. And the tumor had shrunk by 82%. I honestly don't know how we can't cry. Lord.
Okay, let's go.
Ready for liftoff. But before I lift off, I'm going to cry some more now. Yaku, I wonder if you could just stand up for me. No, she can stand up later. She's way behind in the time that I've known Yaku. I've known Yaku when he was serving in a church in Segunda. He was 18, 19, somewhere there. Were you still in school or were you out of school? So he was still in school. And I remember him, his brother, and another guy called Alistair. We think, Josh Jen's got the thing where we go to the front and dance. But these three oaks, I remember laughing so much because they came down the aisle like chickens. But this young man, then I sort of lost contact with him. And I met up with his mom in Warmbos in Limpopo. And she asked me, she said to me, please, I've got Yaku's Bible. Can you give it back to him? Because he's backslidden. We've lost him. And so I thought, okay, let me try this. He was working. He was working on something fishy. But I walked into the shop and I gave him this Bible. I can't remember what I said. But the Sunday after that, he was in our church in Benoni. He served me as a full-time deacon, earning like peanuts. He lived in my back garden. He drove my kids to school. He's like this, like the fourth son that I never had. He's an incredible young man.
It's actually getting quite old
now. Yeah. I said to him the other day, I said, how old you are now? How old are you now? He said, I'm nearly 40. I thought, oof. But stand up quickly, Kim. I only met Kim after Yaku had moved down to Cape Town, but she's a delightful young lady as well. And it's so lucky to have you at church this morning. Thanks, guys. Is that for me or for him? Okay, Natalie, at least you got your show together. Can you put that scripture up about the farmer? last week I started speaking about maturity. And when I got home, my wife said to me, "Hey, you totally missed what God was trying to say." And the people didn't understand. So I thought, let me just go back and recap quickly. So this scripture goes, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil where it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times what was sown." I don't know about you, but I desperately want to be in the 100. Hey? But you know what? I don't mind being in the 30 as long as I'm there. But I'd like to be in the 100. I really would. So we have different types of soil representing different types of maturity in different people. So you see, what happens is, this thing is like, oh, the farmer goes and he throws and this type comes and that type comes and this. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the farmer comes and the first time he sows the seed, it doesn't go in and the birds come and eat it. So that seed is lost. The second time he comes, he sows the seed on the same place, and there's a different result. The rocky place, so the soil and the plants die. What are you laughing at, Luke? So that's where there's rocky ground. So, and how I can say this is, if this morning I had to preach about, "Hey guys, I want you to give this morning like you've never given before. I want you to put your hand in the person's pocket next to you. And because they're not worried about how much you give, you take everything in that pocket and you put it into the offering." Now, if that bounces off, and you, "No, I'm not going to do that," that determines what type of seed you are. I'm just using that as an example. It's like an extreme example. But if you come along and the seed is thrown amongst the thorns, at first it's like, "Yes, let's put this money in there." And then before you can put it in there, the weeds come up and they choke it out and you can't get it out. And then the last one obviously is good soil. That's fruitful soil. So this morning I want to speak about, how do we have good soil? How can we have soil that will produce that end result, not these first three results? It'll produce the 30, 60, 100-fold produce it. Talking rubbish, but anyway. So how do we have good soil? We are, the first thing, we are kingdom minded. You might think, "Oh yes, I'm kingdom minded." Think about it. Are you kingdom minded? What I mean by kingdom minded is Jesus on the throne on your heart, the throne in your heart. Is he there? You know what? I had to work this one out in my own life on a regular basis, because it happens in different situations. You just think you've got this thing sorted out, and then that thing pops up. So in Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Do you seek first the kingdom of God and then rely on the fact that He will return that to you? Do you? Or do you often, I've had to rebuke guys, not like, I've had to say to them, hey, stop trying to make your own plan. And allow God room to make this thing work for you. I can see a lot of you are nodding, and because I know you fairly well, I know why you're nodding. Because a lot of us are going through different things. So all the visitors, I don't know what you're nodding for. Okay, the next one, where we can all make a difference here, is truth before tradition. Man, you know what? Just a quick example. Patty and I used to have turmoil in our life when we lived in the Bluff in Durban. Because on Christmas Day, we had two families that we had to visit. And why did we have to do that? It was tradition. That's what he did every Christmas Day. I'm not saying you don't do that now. Don't not hear what I'm saying. I'm just trying to find examples to use. But you know what? We can't put tradition before truth. We need to be open to change. You know, the Pharisees are amazing. Babes, did you watch the time when I started? Because I'm going to watch today. I thought I'll just give it a good hour. Bang! Now, the Pharisees were dealing with the Son of God. And yet they didn't have a clue. They said they knew the scripture. They knew nothing, man. They were dealing with the Son of God, the Word, the living Word. And they were so focused on their religion that they neglected God's truth and the simplicity of God's Word. You know what, guys? This is something I'm on a mission about this thing at the moment. Is we so often want to get into the Word and we want to check all the little things and where the dots are and the R's are and this thing and that thing over there. Honestly, forget that stuff. For me, what I do, I ask myself, is this a heaven or a hell issue? Will I go to heaven if I pursue this thing, or will I go to hell? And please, I don't want you to get offended now when I say what I'm going to say. Okay, my wife's trembling, but I'm going to say something that has become in the body of Christ. It's become something, and it's not wrong. It's not wrong, but don't neglect the simplicity of the Word because of this thing. And this thing is called Calvinism versus Arminianism. You know what? You can investigate and look, but make sure you are not neglecting the simplicity of God's Word. Just in case you don't know what that means. Calvinism means once saved, always saved. Arminianism means you can lose your salvation. You know what? It's not for me to decide who's going to lose what. The one thing that I am sure of, and when people ask me, this is my answer to them, is that I am sure of God's election. What does that mean? It means I am sure that God chose me. Whether I'm on either side of the story, God chose me. And it's simple. If we get all, hey, we can. I used to get myself all tied up and go and find scriptures. And you know what? You can find the same scriptures for both sides about 50%. And so for me, the most important thing is that God chose me. He chose me. He chose you guys today if you're sovereign and you love him. Not sovereign, sorry, if you're here this morning and you know him. He chose you, man. Whoa, that just gives me such a release. God chose me. Yes, you can go study the other things. Honestly, you can. I'm not saying it's not heresy to study those things. But if you look at all the history of those things, there's so much that could have gone wrong somewhere along the line. And one theologian will put it across like this, and another theologian will put it across like this. And these are oaks that study the word all the time. And I honestly, I think to myself, I'm not going to lose my salvation over that. So no one's cross with me. If you all put your hand up, I'll come rub your back for you. Guys, please, man, heaven or hell issues. When we've got all those sorted, then we can move on to the next thing. And I don't think we'll ever have those things sorted. The Bible speaks about election. That's where I go. God called me. God chose me. That's what the Bible says. It says, God chose me. You didn't choose him. He chose you, regardless of what you believe. The next thing is flexible and teachable. We are to be conformed to the image of God's Son. This is a very good scripture. I love the scripture, especially when there are a whole lot of young kids, because they all know what transformers are, and you can tell them this is how a transformer works. So Romans 12 and verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Some people say, that's three things. His good will, his pleasing will, his perfect will. I don't know, I just read it good, pleasing, and perfect. Folks, this thing does not, it's a process and it does not change overnight. I want to tell you, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and be perfect. You're not going to be. You're going to be perfect in God's sight. I don't want to get into these big words now, because then I'm going to do exactly what justification. When you get saved by justification, you're at the same level of God. Sanctification, you work your way up to God. Sorry. I do know a little bit. But for me, yeah, the most important thing is that God is at work in your life. It's not going to happen overnight. Bianca, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and Vince is the perfect husband. I know you would like that, but it's not going to be. Patsy's got there, but... Hey, listen, 36 years, we're going somewhere. And Jesus, he's amazing, because he helps us to be more like Jesus. He's continually working in our life. I can just sit here, but I don't want to embarrass people. I know where God has done miracles in God's lives. Miracles. Unbelievable. I'm coming closer so I can spread the spray zone. Tim's going to move in that direction. Like Tian is living in a miracle. He's actually got someone that's prepared to marry him. And she's gone home this weekend to go and organize her dress. Eh? Yeah. I tell you what, Kulia, she is a fan. She's going to be a wonderful wife. Eh? She's going to be a wonderful wife. I've just seen how she operates next to Tia. She's up here. She's praying. She's doing this. She's like. We need to be involved, guys. We need to. I want to say to you today, if you feel if somebody is up here for prayer, and you feel God is saying, "Hey, go and pray for that person," I want to encourage you to go and pray for that person. We're not going to get miracles if we don't do the praying. And don't tell me, "Oh, I'm not a leader." You come to the front and pray. If you're not a leader, we'll grab you and pray for you. So we need to be flexible and teachable and willing to change when we're wrong. That's a biggie. Is to change when you're wrong. You're not always right. I found out that quite a long time ago. It was terrible. I would like to be right every week, every time, but I wasn't, especially with my wife. She was normally right and I was normally wrong. Okay, Matthew 9 and verse 16. "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will tear away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will pour out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. You know what, guys? We need to be those that are open to stretching and moving on. I'm going to move quickly through these things now. Another thing that makes your soil deep is perseverance. Another thing is faithfulness. And you can write down Matthew 25 and verse 29. This is a horrible scripture. Because it says, if you don't be a good steward of what I've given you, I'm going to take it away from you and give it to somebody else. You think, hey, that's not fair. He's God. He can do whatever he likes. Something else that's very important. Just write the scripture down again. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. Hebrews 5 and verse 14 speaks about the fact that the mature are able to distinguish between good and evil. When you can't distinguish between good and evil, you need to grow. You need to ask people to help you. But you've got a problem because you're going to make wrong decisions. I've led a church for quite a long time now, about 25 years, I think. And I've made some wrong decisions when I've put people into ministry or I've asked them to do certain things and then it doesn't work out. Ask God to enable you to distinguish good and evil. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." How much longer have I got, babe? 10 minutes. We had a guy, I think Yaku had left already. We had a guy that came into our church. He was a multimillionaire. He was extremely rich. And he's the guy who took us in the aeroplane and we had an aeroplane crash. So God was trying to talk, we just weren't listening. But this guy asked me if he could speak to the people about some scheme that he had. I didn't know it was a scheme, because the devil has schemes and God has plans. So I said, yeah, and I went along there, and I couldn't invest, obviously, because I didn't have enough money to invest. That's one thing pastors don't have, is enough money to invest. So he put this thing out there, and just from the reaction of the people, I thought, no one's going to invest. Hey, but then one of the guys in our church, I think he was a bit greedy, that's why he invested, but he put in 300,000 rand. Now this guy had aeroplanes and helicopters and like, he was a wealthy guy. He wasn't like I can just run away. He's got a whole lot of stuff. And slowly but surely, he moved stuff, he did all sorts of, I don't even want to go down that road. He did all sorts of stuff that eventually this guy lost his money, 300,000 rand. I felt so bad because I had not distinguished between good and evil. Bottom line was that oak made his own decision. But I felt responsible being the guy, let the guy come in and do the speech. That guy didn't stop being a friend, fortunately, so he obviously didn't count me as the person that had lost his money. But even if it was him, he should have distinguished between good and evil. But the oak had so much money. Faithfulness, Matthew 25 and verse 29, "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance." Okay, this is the scripture just now. "Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." So for me, putting our personal needs before God and others is a sign of immaturity. I know it's hard, but that's what the word says. For me, this was one of my favorite sayings that I used for months in Covenant Life Church was, what was I going to say? Yeah? Faithfulness will become fruitfulness. If we are faithful with what God gives us, it will become fruitful in our life. This is a story, Judges 7 and verse 1. I'm just going to read it. Not read it, I'm going to tell you the story. It's the story of Gideon. And so God says to Gideon, send all the guys home who are afraid. That 22,000 guys, go. Then he gets them to drink a certain way at the well or whatever, at the little dam. And then he says, okay, only allow 300 to stay. What was that? God was removing the immature. He couldn't afford to have those guys there when they went into battle. Perseverance, I'm not even going to read that. You all probably know that scripture about James 1:2. Isn't that all your favorite scripture? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Okay, I'm going to finish on this one. Humility is before one person. Do you know that? Not before others. Humility is before God. A friend of mine used to say, humility is got an audience of one. First Peter 5:5, it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Lindy, you're a machine, man. Does my wife tell you when my time's up, and then she tells you? You know, a team is so lekker. Very deep soil. I want to encourage you today not to allow the seed that has come to bounce off the soil in your life. Sometimes I get afraid that by speaking to people, by giving this call, people are afraid to come, and so they don't come. But this morning, you know what? I want you to break that thing off your life, that you don't care what people feel or think about you. So I wonder if we could all just stand together. Sometimes it's easier if we stand together. Donnie did say during worship that we had given others an opportunity. So I want to increase that opportunity. I want to make it, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I trust if you're here and you haven't done that, that the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now. But I also want to just put it out there that if there are some areas that maybe I didn't even mention them this morning, but you know that the seed is not going deep in your life in that area, I wonder if you could come up to the front. Come, guys. I know it takes courage. It takes courage. Be courageous this morning and come forward. Be courageous. I don't want to seem proud, but I don't believe God gave this message for one person. Thank you, Lord. I love you, God, and I want to see God's best for you. Even if you're here for the first time today, I just want to see God's best for you. I don't want you to be under pressure, but I want you to see God's, I want to see God's best for you. Thank you, Lord.